about capabilities, building all your hopes and dreams.
Talk about
possibilities.
It ain't rocket surgery,
but maybe it is.
Come on down, we're gonna sit around and
get into your business. Get into your business.
Business. Welcome to the Small Business Miracles Podcast. I'm Jeff Randolph. This small business podcast is brought to you by EAG Advertising and Marketing. We are going to talk about marketing, and we're also here to celebrate entrepreneurs. We have marketing news and advice that business owners can use to keep moving forward. This week, we sit down with Brian Blake, and we're going to talk about aquariums and fish and growing an aquarium business. But first, we've got another small business marketing tip to talk about.
Business.
For today's tip, we're going to talk about pay-per-click advertising on Google Ads. Now, is pay-per-click advertising on Google Ads right for your business? It can be a great tactic when you need immediate visibility. You want to be right at the top of that search page, and you want to target specific keywords that your potential customers are searching for. It's especially effective if you have a limited time offer or a seasonal promotion of some kind, something they can say yes to right away, especially if your product is one that people can just buy without a long sales cycle. Now, if you do have a long sales cycle, it doesn't mean that paid search isn't right for you. It just means that it can be a more complex marketing picture where paid search plays a role at one or more points in that process. So, if you do start doing paid search, one of the biggest mistakes we see people make is that your website isn't optimized for sales. The job of your website is to convert those clicks into sales. You're paying for those clicks. You have to turn those into sales at that point once they're on your website. If you don't have a landing page for that campaign that can convert your paid search traffic into sales, don't pay to send search traffic to that page. Fix that page. And that's our marketing tip for today.
Business.
Welcome back to the podcast. I am here with Brian Blake. He is the owner of Bootleshire Aquatics. Brian, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. I appreciate it.
No, we're the lucky ones here. Tell us about the business. It's a whole aquatics business. Explain what that is.
Yeah, basically, at Bootleshire Aquatics, we design, install, maintain, and sometimes move aquariums, freshwater and saltwater, in homes and offices throughout the metro. So anytime anyone has an issue with their aquarium, they're having problems with it, or they want to install a new one, or they're just not being able to maintain the one they have now, they can find us and we can help them out.
That's it. That's everything you'd ever want in the aquarium world. Let me talk about the growth of the business. You started in September of 2021, and it was only a part-time thing for you. It was a part-time focus. Tell me about that growth path, because I think a lot of small business owners start the same way, where, all right, let me start doing this. It's a passion project. It's something I can't get out of my head, and I need to start this, but it can't sustain things yet. So tell me about that growth.
Yeah, essentially, I had out of college odd jobs working different places, Home Depot, mm-hmm. Aldi, some retail spots. And every time you get burnout after so many months of, performing your best, but not seeing any return on that. Mm-hmm. And so I decided I need, the pandemic, I think, did this for a lot of people. I need to make a change. I need to do something for myself. And so I decided I was going to start making a little money doing aquarium maintenance. But I don't really ever do anything, half-cocked. So I went in pretty much full throttle and said, I'm gonna grow this into a full-time business. I'm going to do that right off the bat. But I didn't want to lose my income. Mm-hmm. So I kept working full-time at the Aldi warehouse down in Olathe. And while I was doing that, in my off time, I would work on building a website and researching essentially everything I need to know about starting a business. I used Score KC quite heavily.
Okay.
I got a mentor from them and they helped a lot. And I did a bunch and bunch and bunch of research. And then eventually in September 21, I said, okay, let's do this. I filed with the state of Kansas, got Boodleshire LLC, doing business as Boodleshire Aquatics. And then I started doing my website building. Mm-hmm. And then about, I think, 3 or 4 months into that, I realized I wasn't really able to split my attention very well. Mm-hmm. So working full time at the warehouse and then also not being able to work enough on the business. And I thought, but I still in the back of my head, I didn't want to lose that,
right,
that income.
Right. Yeah.
But eventually I got my first client. They were unhappy with the service they were using. They called me. I went in, gave them an estimate. They accepted. I started working on the tank. Then one day they called me and said, we ran out of water for the top off. So I was at the warehouse. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I'll be there this afternoon. So when I got off around 3, I ran home and I went down to the client and I gave them their water. And I thought to myself, what if it was a real emergency? What if the tank had been leaking or something like that? Mm-hmm. I can't be stuck here at this other job. So that combined with the fact that I didn't want to prevent myself from working on the business more, I went ahead and decided to just quit the warehouse, live off my savings for a few months. And because I had no clients at the time, I had one, I went and started writing the fish tank biologist blog. Mm-hmm. And I started with 2 articles a week with just, you know, quality, you know, content for whatever topics aquarium owners might want to know. Mm-hmm. And I kept going at that for 6 months. I was gaining clients during that time, you know, mm-hmm. two or three at a time and some one-time service here and there. But eventually Google let me out of what you'd call the sandbox, and they started ranking me with that organic search. Mm-hmm. And then that's when it really took off. I started getting multiple clients a month, and then eventually I was able to start paying myself and reinvesting profits into the business. And then, you know, it went from there. But really, what changed for me was quitting that full-time job. And even though I didn't have any income other than, you know, from my savings, I was able to put 100% of my attention into that uh-huh. business, and then it grew so much faster.
You really, you know, pushed all the chips all in mm-hmm. on this one and just said, this is what I'm going to do. I love the story because, you know, when we're thinking about entrepreneurs, you hang up your shingle for the first time and now you're ready to go. Well, that shingle is your website. And then you realize, hey, that shingle needs to be prettier. Let me do all kinds of SEO. If we dive into that SEO for a minute, cause it was intentional. You kind of knew what you were doing at it. You had done a lot of that research to figure it out. Tell me just a little bit more about the SEO. Were you focused on keywords at the beginning, or were you really going for high quality content? What a combination of both? What was the thing behind it?
So the motivation behind doing the blog articles was twofold. One was it was free. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Something you could do, yeah.
Yes. I didn't have to. I had a lot of time and not a lot of money, so mm-hmm. I had plenty of time to write articles. I also had a lot of knowledge, so I could write these articles.
Yeah.
The second thing was the organic search results over time take a while to get started, but over time are one of the best ways to – they're one of the best SEO strategies because it creates a very, very strong foundation mm-hmm. upon which you can keep – building upon, but it creates authority, it creates trust with the user and with the search engines, and it's a very strong foundation that doesn't go anywhere or doesn't diminish very quickly as long as you keep up on the content.
Right.
I can't tell you how many times I've redesigned my website. I'm actually currently redesigning it again right now.
Oh, sure.
But so the keywords weren't a big deal at first. I mean, I did optimize my website. Mm-hmm. I did have, you know, I made sure I had fish tank cleaning, aquariums, you know, maintenance, install. I had all the keywords, which it's very difficult to search for what is ranking locally. Mm-hmm. You can search what's ranking nationally, but for something as niche as, I mean, aquariums aren't niche, but like... it's limited results. Right. Sometimes Google is like less than 100 is all we can tell you.
Right. And there's a difference between somebody who wants to go to an aquarium and take their children to an aquarium.
Exactly.
And yeah. a commercial aquarium cleaning service or mm-hmm. a home cleaning service or setup service.
Right. Yeah. So there is a lot of crossover there. If you look at my search inquiry on Google Analytics every month, it tells me that quite a bit of my business pops up from people searching for public aquariums. In Kansas City, which there is some crossover there.
Right, right.
But so yeah, keywords weren't like a big part of it at the beginning. My main motivation was just put out as much organic, not organic content, but like high quality content as I can.
Informative, educational.
Yes. Stuff that Google recognizes not being written for SEO. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I did optimize the articles a little bit. More later than at the beginning. At the beginning, it was very raw
content. Yeah, here's all of this wisdom that I have in my brain, and I need to get it out.
Yeah, here's a page with 1,400 words on it, and those words were well thought out and put together, but it became more of a science later on.
Yeah, and I want to make sure I heard you correctly. You said 1,400 words, right? Is that
yeah,
what you
yeah.
said?
Some of my later articles got to like 2,500. Yeah. They're about 10-minute reads.
Yeah, there's a correlation there. If you look at what content ranks number one on Google, it tends to be much longer content because the answers are there, and Google knows that it's going to send somebody to a place where those answers are. So,
right.
Yeah, very smart, very smart.
Yeah, and you know, backlinking and all this stuff within the website and to external sources was also something I looked into as well. My most recent SEO strategy I've been implementing is multi-location SEO, where if you're a local business in a metro, we have multiple towns. People don't search for aquarium cleaning Kansas City if they live in Leawood.
Exactly.
So I had to create service pages for I think it was about 18 different towns in the metro. And if you go and you know Google aquarium cleaning near me, but you live in Gladstone, I'll come up because I have a whole page on aquarium cleaning in Gladstone. Yeah. And it's unique. The page has different content for each page. It has backlinks to local areas within that town. It's worded differently on every page. So it's not just copy and pasted. All the information is available to us. If you go to Google's website, they'll tell you exactly what they're looking for. In terms of SEO, and you can just follow those rules.
Yeah, I've got a couple things that I want to jump on really quick, just because we've thrown out terms, and I want to make sure that people get them. Backlinks, you've used a couple times, and backlinks are links from other websites to your website, and the idea is that if other websites that are popular link to your website, Google then reevaluates and goes, man, if this trusted site is pointing over here, maybe I should reevaluate and trust this site a little bit more. So good definition there. And you were were doing that from the beginning. Everything you've said is like just textbook. This is exactly the way it ought to be done. And you're doing it from scratch. And that's really how you were able to stop working for somebody else and start working for yourself. Let's talk about that entrepreneur lifestyle for a second, because you're loving being an entrepreneur. You're having a great time. What's the best part of being an entrepreneur for you?
For me, the best part is my own schedule. I get to work for only the people I want to work for, and I have some control over the quality of my work and my life. When you work for someone else or when you work for another company, obviously there is some diminishing return depending on the company you work for. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, you know, big corporations like the ones I used to work for, not necessarily small firms. But I found that, I don't know, it was just it was very difficult for me to work. Even if I had managers that were really great, great managers, and I still just could not. We just never ultimately got along, you know. I don't know. I guess I have a problem with authority. But
there's a lot of that actually, where entrepreneurs go, you know, the only person who would hire me is me.
I definitely wanted. You know, I was putting in more work than I was getting returned for, so I wanted to invest in something that I knew was a better investment, and that would, you know, was myself.
It was
which,
you?
Yeah. You know, involves a little bit of narcissism, I guess, but I think all entrepreneurs have that a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, my own schedule. So, you know, I can schedule clients whenever I want. And if I need to take a day off, or if I need to take an afternoon off, or something comes up, or even if I'm just like looking at my calendar and thinking, I want a 4-day weekend next week, I can do that.
You can do that.
Yeah.
I want to balance that though, because early, just as we were talking right before we hit record, one of the things that we talked about was working in the business versus working on the business. Mm-hmm. And it's important. One of the things you said was, hey, here, I've got this routine where, I'm, you know, doing the work for the day. I'm checking on other people's aquariums. And then, once I'm done with that, I hit a coffee shop and I work on the business more, so mm-hmm. that I'm doing, you know, all of these other tasks. And throw out a couple of those other tasks. The kind of things that you're doing at a coffee shop are what?
Yeah. So like right now, what I'm doing is working on my standard operating procedure, mm-hmm. or my employee handbook, I guess. I'm looking to hire in the beginning of 2025, and so I've done a lot of research and a lot of building on the documentation that's required for that. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, right now, I'm also redesigning my website again, like I mentioned. And in addition to that, I've got a couple of projects I'm working on for, like, we were talking about evaluating CRMs, mm-hmm. Customer mm-hmm. Management softwares. There's just several different things that I do that aren't directly involved with revenue, but are involved with growing the business, mm-hmm. which will result in revenue. So, like, here are my to-do list. I've got... I have a lead magnet I'm working on. Yeah. It's a quiz you can take when you go onto the website. And it will, the quiz is called How Healthy Is Your Aquarium? You go through, it gives you a score for the answers. And then depending on the score, I'll tell you whether or not, you know, your aquarium is healthy and how, what steps you can take to rectify it.
I need to pause long enough to define lead magnet, because it makes me happy to hear you say it. I love hearing you say this. This is again, textbook, man, right. Textbook. Lead magnet is that thing that you find online that you are happy to exchange your email address for. Mm-hmm. So I come across a valuable tool or a white paper or something, a case study, something that I would say, ooh, I want that information. I will be happy to give you my email address to get it. Now you have their email address. They have a whole tool there. And sometimes it's not an email address exchange, but mm-hmm. If you put that content out there and the content is so valuable mm-hmm. that they have to come back to you, that's the goal.
So yeah, like you said, a lot of times a lead magnet is for an email address to get on the list. For me, because I'm a local business, but my website, I get a lot of international traffic for my blog articles. I don't need anyone. I mean, if they use the quiz and they benefit from it, awesome.
Great. Yeah.
But I don't need anyone outside of Kansas City to use it for my marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. And so I did not, there's an option on there to put your email in, but there's a big old skip button underneath it.
That's good.
And that way, because really it's about traffic to the website for me, not so, and about returning to the website, not so much about the email itself, but you know, essentially it is a lead magnet.
Right.
Then I have another lead magnet I'm working on, which is a kind of a lifestyle portfolio design booklet kind of thing, but it features a bunch of different aquariums that I've used over the years and installed. And it'll be sort of a very, you know, elegant, shiny booklet that that you can download and kind of look through and see what options are available if you want to install an aquarium in your home or office. And then I'm working on a couple of strategies for some, there's another term, some tripwire offers.
Oh, sure.
I'll let you define this one. Oh, no.
Continue. Please describe it first. Let's describe.
Yeah. So like the Tripwire offer is essentially, here's my basic services at a discounted price.
Right.
So you can kind of get an idea of what I do and how I do it. And if you enjoyed it, then you can sign up for my core products, which are the full cleaning and maintenance and stuff.
Yeah.
So that's all going into that website redesign as well. But yeah, basically I implement all of these strategies. I watch them work. I see what does and doesn't work. And then I come back at the end of the day and I say, okay, what have I not done yet? What mm-hmm. can I do to grow this business that I haven't explored? I do a bunch of research and then I implement it.
Man, and the reason I wanted to have you go through some of those and just kind of talk about your to-do list, really, and what kind of things you do at a coffee shop is because I think that's in contrast to the rest of the benefits of being an entrepreneur. Yes, plenty of benefits to being an entrepreneur. You can take that four-day week or weekend, but, you know, you're disciplined. You are disciplined and you work on the business and it's not just kind of a free for all at that point. You, mm-hmm. you are doing all of the work you need to do.
Yeah. That 4-day weekend means no, clients. It doesn't mean I'm not working.
Yes. True. True. Let's talk about aquariums in general for a minute. Cause we've had other guests on the podcast and I'm thinking specifically, shout out to Casey Riley with the Fat Plant Society. She can tell us all day long about the benefits of biophilic design. Like why should someone, have moss walls everywhere and bring some of that living stuff inside. Let's talk about aquariums for a minute. Why should someone invest in an aquarium? What kind of benefits do they get in having an aquarium in their home or office?
Yeah, so if you check out the website on the Fish Tank Biologist, I wrote a couple articles about this, which basically summarized a bunch of different studies that claim that having an aquarium or bringing nature into your home in general can mm-hmm. lower your heart rate, decrease your blood pressure, kind of creates a calming and relaxing environment in general. I think that having something natural in the home definitely does that in my experience. You know, aquariums aren't necessarily for everyone, but if you have something that's sort of passive like that, you know, like a moss wall or an aquarium that's maintained by someone else, it's a little more of a environment that you've brought into your house mm-hmm. instead of an activity or something you have to look after, which I think can be a little more relaxing than creating another job for yourself. You know,
like,
you know, dogs and cats are great. I have a dog and several cats, but they are work and they're not, I wouldn't consider bringing nature into
your
house.
And they aren't always relaxing.
No,
they aren't always really. Yeah. You look at there's more to an aquarium than a fish. Some of the corals and mm-hmm. Life that you have in there are amazing.
Yeah. If you get the flow right on a reef tank and you have these, they're called euphilia. They're a large polyp stony coral. They have these long flowing tentacles. If you get the flow right, they go back and forth
man.
And back and forth all day long. And tell me that doesn't lower your blood pressure.
It would for sure. Fish are fairly mellow. Fish are mellow.
Yeah. If you have a peaceful tank, yes, they can be very mellow.
That's good.
Additionally, I find that for young kids, they're an incredible learning tool.
Yeah.
About life, about science, about art. Aquariums combine all three of those things. You have the plumbing, the electricity, the design, the engineering that goes into the equipment, the life support systems, the lighting. Mm-hmm. And then you have this beautiful piece of art inside this glass tank, all of which science supports. And then on top of that, you have all the biological science that goes into the organisms themselves. And using that as a teaching tool for young kids is really efficient, and a lot of my clients benefit from that. Also, even younger children, you know, 3 and 2 and 1, aquariums are naturally or provide a natural amount of stimulus. You know, we evolved with the amount of stimulus that nature provided us, that movement, that color, mm-hmm. that light, television, and things like that. Kind of sometimes go beyond that and are overwhelming for really young kids. And so aquariums provide a natural amount of stimulus that we're used to and can be a great benefit to young kids as well.
And spectacular. And the passion is there too. I'd love to see that. Before I get into the lightning round, when you start talking to a potential new client, when you're talking to somebody who says, you know, everything you've said, and for all of those reasons, I'm in. Mm-hmm. What do they need to know before they start talking to you? Do they need to know the size of the tank or the kind of fish or the kind of life that they need to have in there? What should they bring to you and know already before they talk to you?
Yeah, so for installation clients, basically, usually they have kind of an idea of like, hey, you know, I want a freshwater tank. I want it to be this big. I want it to be over here. Mm-hmm. But during the process, I'll go over to their house and I'll take measurements and I'll ask them a lot of questions and we'll eventually sort of suss out exactly what it is they're looking for. And sometimes there's things that they didn't realize they needed to know, but there's nothing that really needs to be settled or set in stone before I arrive. because I can determine exactly what is what they're going to want eventually out of the system. For maintenance clients, usually they've got an issue they're having or there's a pain point, and I need to identify that pain point and then figure out how to solve it for them. Most of the time it's I don't have enough time or knowledge, or and my lack of time or knowledge has resulted in an issue with the aquarium. Mm-hmm. Same thing with one-time service. It's just the aquarium got away from me. I need someone to get it back to where it was, mm-hmm. so I can take over again. Because when it really gets away from you, it's quite a big of a hurdle to get over to clean it.
Oh, sure.
Whereas if you keep up on it, it's just a short amount of work, every week. But yeah, essentially, if I have a client who's interested or a potential client who's interested in either design, installation, or maintenance, really the biggest thing you need to know is what, and when all is said and done, what do you want out of this aquarium? Do you want it to look a certain way? Do you want it redesigned? Do you want it, what's your goal? Do you want it to just bring some peace into your house? And, mm-hmm. and whatever your goal is, I'll ask the questions necessary to get us there, and we'll make sure you get what you need.
So if I say, I'm looking for something to just exist at like shoulder height behind me to complete my evil lair, mm-hmm. and I need the life in there to make sure that it portrays that same evil, Dr. Evil kind of thing. That's what I need.
Yeah, essentially, we would start talking about built-ins and custom tanks and the life support systems required to carry sharks and things like that.
Perfect. That's exactly what I need. Then I need laser beams for the heads. Let's go into the lightning round. Are you ready for the lightning round?
Okay, yeah.
First question, do fish sleep?
They do, yeah.
And they're just very subtle about it?
Yeah, most fish don't have eyelids, but they have a protective film that goes over the eye to protect them. It's transparent, but they do sleep. Tangs will actually try and wedge themselves into crevices and caves and rocks. A lot of times aquarium owners will say, what's wrong with my tang? Why is he acting like this? Mm-hmm. And they're just trying to wedge themselves into a little crevice to sleep at night.
Well, that's nice. If I make you choose, what's better, saltwater or freshwater aquarium?
Wow. That's very, very hard.
I know what I'm doing. I know the pain that this question is going to cause you.
I would have to say freshwater, but specifically freshwater planted.
Oh.
So reef tanks are very, very beautiful, mm-hmm. and they're very challenging, which I love. The easy tanks aren't as fun for me. Mm. I love a tank that has a lot of components to it and needs a lot of science and knowledge to take care of appropriately. Planted freshwater tanks, though, will always have a place in my heart because they're the first tanks I ever took care of for myself when I was younger. And if you look up Takashi Amano, he is planted freshwater tank designer out of Japan. And every single planted freshwater tank you see is in some way influenced by his design. And they are breathtaking. Mm-hmm. The scapes that people create mimic landscapes, and there's nothing else like it. Oftentimes, I will have saltwater clients, and their tank is looking great and everything, and I'll say, check out this freshwater planted I just did, and I'll show them a photo, and they'll be like, oh, I want that.
That's the one. Yeah.
Nice. And so, there's just nothing like it. And I think it's because we can... we can associate and relate to that green environment better than we can that underwater reef environment, just because we're more used to it.
Fascinating. I'm going to give you a would you rather question.
Okay.
And I'm talking about your ideal installation. Is your ideal installation, the one that's going to make you real happy that you did it, going to be a big public installation at like a public aquarium or stadium? Or would you rather put a super cool aquarium in some famous superstar's home where only their friends could enjoy it?
I think that... getting the most out of the aquarium in terms of the most people seeing it, more people benefiting from the advantages of the aquarium and the beauty of the aquarium is definitely important. All things being equal, if the installation and the maintenance and everything was the same on both, I would probably say the public aquarium, mm-hmm. because there, especially in a place I don't know, let's say a library.
Sure.
Where there's no cost to get in. And literally anyone
accessible
can enjoy it. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Fish wisdom is everywhere in popular culture. Ted Lasso taught us to be a goldfish because goldfish have a 10-second memory where we move on from mistakes so that we can focus on happiness and success. Dory from Finding Nemo tells us to just keep swimming. There are also classics like if you give a man a fish or guests are like fish, they both smell after 3 days. Do you have a favorite fish-based wisdom that you like to throw out there?
Fish-based wisdom. That is a very good question.
There are lots of examples out there.
Yeah. I would say in line with the dory, there's a loach in Hawaii that will use its fins to suction onto the sides of waterfalls and climb all the way to the top of the waterfall so that to its breeding grounds. And despite the fact that that's quite the effort and the water is constantly pounding down against it every second of that climb, it still continues on to achieve its goal. I think that there's a lesson there for all of us, definitely.
Right, it's beautiful is what it is. That's beautiful. That is beautiful fish-based wisdom. You are also an Eagle Scout. Can you give us any examples of how becoming an Eagle Scout prepared you for owning Bootleshire Aquatics?
Yeah, I think that what I learned most from being an Eagle Scout was probably the leadership. At the end of the program, they have you take on a project that you are not supposed to actively hands-on do anything in. You are supposed to create the project, design it, and then delegate to have it completed.
Leadership, yes.
Yeah, so the whole idea is that you are not supposed to drive any nails, you are not supposed to press any buttons, you are just supposed to delegate and have a team complete this project and to the standard that you designed it to. And that definitely is something that business owners, I think, use every day, especially when they have a team under them. But even not, time management, things like that are really important aspects I learned from that.
Yeah, and you're about to go write your HR manual. So very, very similar. You're gonna build that company so that you can, have other people run it. That's right. Spectacular. I'll take you out of the lightning round. Well done, Brian. That is everything I'd ever hoped for. Tell people where they can find you if they heard all of the important things. If they too want to have that moment where the water is beating down on them and they can look at their aquarium for inspiration.
Right.
Where can they find you?
You can find me at Bootleshire on X and Instagram, or Bootleshire Aquatics on Facebook, or you can go to my website, BootleshireAquatics.com, and I'm sure you'll have it posted up on the site, but just for those of you listening, it's BootleShire. And if you just Google Bootleshire Aquatics, I'm the only one that comes up.
So. You're the only one that comes up because that was well thought out. I mean, well done, man. Brian Blake, owner of Bootleshire Aquatics, thanks for being with us today.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you very much.
Business. And that is our show. Thanks to our guest, Brian Blake, and thank you for listening to the Small Business Miracles podcast. Remember to subscribe, leave us a 5-star rating and review, drop us a line on the website at eagadv.com if you have any thoughts. Until then, we'll be out here helping entrepreneurs with another Small Business Miracle.
Talk about strategies. Talk about capabilities. Building all your hopes and dreams. Talk about possibilities. It ain't rocket surgery, but maybe it is. Come on down, we're gonna sit around and get into your business. Get into your business. Business.